الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويوم يعد الظالم على يديه يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا يا ويلتى ليتني لم أتخذ فلانا خليلا صدق الله العظيم. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choicest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us, and we make dua that Allah continue showering us with His blessings, and may Allah enable us to continuously make shukr. Allah must keep us conscious that we acknowledge as well as we make shukr for the blessings, and give us the opportunity of using it to please Him and to come closer to Him. Respected friends and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made man in this world with such a nature that he cannot be alone for too long. He can't be away from the rest of mankind. He is what we call a social being. If he is away for a short while also from people, you find that he starts undergoing some kind of a loneliness and some kind of a depression, and he needs to go and interact and socialize with people. That's why they say man is a social being. And if he is not there for a short while, then he is not feeling himself. We have those ordinary, or we have those few cases sometimes, those exceptional cases, where people choose whole time to be on their own. They don't want to interact with anybody, they want to see anybody, they want to talk to anybody, but those are now exceptional cases. In fact, they have got a problem with their own personalities, whatever it might be. But generally, this being the case, that we need to be interacting in one way or the other, whether it is just to socialize, whether it is just to pass time, whether it is just to even work with each other and to enjoy each other's company, that is an inherent quality and a nature of man. But at the same time, we must remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator of man, is aware of this. Therefore, Allah ta'ala has repeatedly in the Quran Kareem warned us about who we befriend and whose company we keep. Because it is going to happen, it is bound to happen, that the company that we keep and the environment that we go into, the people that we befriend and the people that we are inclined to, the people that we are, who we love or we claim to love, they are going to affect us. And we are also going to affect them. So this influencing is going to be taking place at all times, one way or the other. And this can be very, very beneficial for a person. And it can also be very, very harmful. Harmful in the sense that it will be destruction for him in this dunya and destruction at the time of his death. And worst, it will be destruction eternally for him, from where he cannot save himself again. And a person must think at all times that whoever I am associating with and who I am keeping as my companion, is he not in any way causing me to tread the path of eternal destruction? That is why in the Quran Kareem we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has exhorted us repeatedly to keep the company of those who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to keep the company of those who are pious and uprighteous, and to abstain from the company of those that are going to affect us in one way or the other. And Allah ta'ala has also given us such a warning. He says, do not incline towards those who are the transgressors. Allah didn't say that you're going to become like that. Allah went one step further. He says, فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. Then you're going to be touched by the fire, meaning that you are going to be destroyed if you are going to keep the company of those that are harmful for you and for your iman and for your actions and for your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a given, it is a fact that we continuously are in the company. And today we know that especially the youth, the younger people, and even those that are old, they will go look for activities, they will want to be in places where, you know, they are having their fun, they are enjoying their hobbies, they are passing time, they are acquiring whatever recreational pleasure they might be, can be even yet our zone for that matter. But if we find that the company that we are keeping, whoever we are with and whatever activity, we are indulging in, if it is affecting our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is much better for a person to be away from that company. He said it is better to be alone than to be in bad company. And it's better to be in good company than to be alone. So there's a saying. And a person has to at all times weigh that when he left any company, any association, what effect did it have on him? No one can say there was no effect. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given an example in the hadith. And this is important for us to keep in mind. We should not dismiss it just like that, that we were in the company of somebody, it never affected us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that the example of one, mathalul jalis is salih, the one who sits in the companionship, in the company of a pious, uprighteous person, then even if that person doesn't give you anything, it is like you are sitting in the company of one person who is selling musk, hamilul misk. You're sitting in the company of a person who's selling musk. Even if the man does not give you musk, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says you are going to acquire something from him in as far as the smell of that musk is concerned. That means the environment is covered in musk. So even if he did not give you anything, just sitting with him is going to be of benefit to you. So if you're sitting in the company of a pious person, he doesn't open his mouth 1 minute also, he doesn't tell you anything, he doesn't share anything with you. But the fact that you are sitting in his company, that environment is going to affect you. So there are two things to keep in mind. One is the person and one is the environment. That is why we need to ask ourselves that how do we choose our friends, and also in which environment we find ourselves in. Once a person told me not a long time ago, he says, after many, many years, I decided to go and sit in the movies. After many years, it was just something. He said, I felt so sick. I felt so uncomfortable. I just got up and I walked out from there. Whereas in my younger days, that was a place I spent a good part of my life there. So what happened to him? What he was saying was that the environment that he found himself in at that time was so disturbing to his soul and to his ruh that he left. And that is what we must be conscious about at all times. That sometimes it can be even an environment of Muslimin, but if they are involved in activity that is haram, and there are things that are taking place there that are against the order and the command of Allah, and if it affects our spirituality, we need to get up and go. Because if a person won't go from there, then that thing is going to cast a certain amount of damage to his ruhaniyah, to his spirituality. The second part of the hadith, exactly what Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. Then the example of the one who sits in the company of an evil person is like one who sits where there is what we call a blacksmith, the one who is blowing dust and soot. We don't see blacksmiths now and then, but in an environment where there is a whole lot of heat, there is soot, there is ash, there is dust, and there is just dirt in the air is polluted. Even if that blacksmith doesn't give you anything, from whatever arts he is busy crafting there, and whatever he might be doing there, if he's not going to give you, but when you're going to walk out from there, you are definitely going to be affected by the environment. That means you're going to come out from there feeling sweaty. First of all, it's a heated place. You're going to come out from there covered in dust. You're going to come out from there dirty. So even if he didn't tell you, he didn't give you anything, you are going to be affected by the dirt and the blackness of the soot that is found in there. So in this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has very wisely and very logically brought to our attention two things. Be careful of the friend that you choose, and be careful of the environment that you find yourself in. If that environment is something that is totally opposite to this environment of the masjid, it is totally against the environment of what you enjoy when you go to Madinah Munawwara, sitting in the company of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his masjid. It's an environment that is totally against when you're sitting around the Kaaba. It is something that is taking away from you inner peace. It is something that is taking away from your remembrance of Allah. It is something that is pushing you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you owe no explanation to anybody except to tell yourself that my akhirah is going to be in ruins. Sooner or later, I better get up and I go away from here. And we must also remember that, you know, these gatherings are such where Even sometimes the person who goes to social functions, he needs to be careful. We read the hadith the other day. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if people sit in gatherings in which Allah is not remembered, in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not remembered, then such gatherings are going to be a cause of a burden for a person on the day of Qiyamah, as a result of which Allah is going to punish him. So somebody will say, but why? Why is this hadith so stern? Where a gathering took place and Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam not remembered, and Allah Ta'ala is, it can be a burden where Allah can punish a person, or Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah Ta'ala wants, you can even forgive a person. Why? Because in these gatherings you will find such vices taking place that directly attack a person's spiritual health. It makes him sick, it contaminates him. He's sitting with people there who probably are talking bad about the whole world, which is such a serious or such a pleasurable hobby now in this day and age, where they will be sitting and talking of somebody who sent out an email, or some organization, or somebody in some organization, or somebody in our locality, or wherever it might be, and they're busy running the person down. You went for a meal to somebody, they gave you a 3-course meal, but now it becomes a 6-course meal, because you spoke about 3 different people. You ate the flesh of 3 different brothers. And those who spoke are guilty, and those who allowed the speaking are also just as guilty. We know the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or we find slandering taking place there. Or we find people speculating about other people's actions, whereas we don't know what the reality is. All these speculating and slandering and ghibat are such serious sins. Then we find some people, the very language that they use, they just cannot talk straightforward language when they're talking. They have to spice it up with the worst forms of swear words and vulgarities and so forth. So that is what that gathering is about. No mention of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we think about that, then we will say, okay, it makes sense now why this hadith is so stern. And those that are sitting in there, sooner or later they are going to be influenced in their thinking against somebody. If we think evil of somebody without any justification, we're going to have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why when we hear something, if it doesn't affect us, cut it out. I want to have nothing to do with anybody else's issues. You know what we say, panchat. Cut it out, don't come and tell me about these things. Who did what and who went where and who was seen with who and who was doing whatever. It does not affect, but if you're sitting in a gathering like that, if you're carrying that suspicion in your heart, you are already going to be affected with the sickness of pride. When you see that person, you're going to think, you know, he's doing that, I'm not doing that. So dangerous it can be. And then you find those thrillers also in every function. The way they will go out of the way to thrill people, they'll pepper it and spice it with what, you know, bold actions they had done and how they had beat the law and how they had spoken their way out. It's just one whole thriller there. But that also in itself is very harmful, because you are opening yourself to evil ideas and evil thoughts. Even that person is lying through his teeth. We need to be careful. So my respected friends and brothers, that is why that hadith is so stern and so strict, that a person is warned. Also, sitting in an environment where there are people that are far from Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam can affect, apart from actually drawing and being affected by that bad environment, it can prevent one person from becoming good. Assuming a person decides, I now need to change my way of life, in whichever way it might be, my outward actions, my outward dressing, my outward appearance, I want to do some extra actions in terms of salah, what I'm not doing, and I want to do that. The thing is that I am in the company of those people, they're not going to leave me. The minute I'm going to go in that gathering, they're going to start calling me all kinds of things. You became a Mauli Sahib, and you became a Sufi Sahib, and you became a saint, and you are this. Give it a chance, not now. So what happens is, because a person is under pressure of his environment and of his friends, apart from it harming him, by letting him do bad, it can also be a thing that can prevent him. And all these things, my respected friends and brothers, are such that we find are going to harm a person in his life, at the time of his death, and in the hereafter. So we're not saying people must not take part in activities. We're not saying mustn't go into functions. We're not saying you mustn't go and take part in recreation, whatever the nature of it be. But those environments must be kept clean. If we cannot keep it clean, if we are finding ourselves being affected, then we must rather move away from there. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin. The thing is, you are supposed to be in the company of pious people
We must make dua Allah Ta'ala create such pious people in our environment, in our community, so that we can sit in their company and benefit from one word also that they say, one sentence, one advice, whatever it might be. It is so valuable, my brothers. There are people who don't get to hear an ayat of the Quran, an ayat of a saying of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or some good advice from the word, from the tongues of pious people. They don't get it for weeks on end. They don't hear anything. And if we can have the opportunity of benefiting, it is going to be actually nourishing our soul, giving us something to think about, and bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, Allah ta'ala says that be in the company of the uprighteous, be in the company of those who sincerely have devoted themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know if a person has to relocate from here, or somebody comes to our town, what is one of the things we look at? We say, how is the neighborhood? Which area are you living in? Now, there are some notorious areas, whether it's in Johannesburg, or whether it's in Cape Town, or whether it's in New York, wherever it might be. And they say, yeah, well, the house you're staying is in one of those areas there. A person is not going to go there. He will be so worried. Why doesn't he want to go stay there? He does not want to stay in that neighborhood because he is in danger. That area is filled with drugs, drug peddlers. It is filled with people that are muggers, you know, people that are going to attack you, criminals. Your daughter is not safe because there are rapists there. And there are all other kinds of evils taking place. You are not safe in that environment. So a person is not going to go in that particular neighborhood. He will not want to go stay there. No one will stay. Say, please find another place. He might be totally desperate if he really goes and stays there, unless he's one of them. But any person who is in his right mind says, no, that area, I stay away from it. My brothers, same way. That is the area you're so careful about. Be aware of the little group that you are sitting in, that little environment you're choosing for that hour or 2 hours, in which there is also a different form of attack taking place. Such an attack that in this environment, the worst that will happen is you'll be attacked, you'll be hurt, you might be killed. But if this attack of the spiritual attacks that take place on our iman, on our character, on our akhlaq, it can be destruction forever and ever. That's why a person needs to be so careful when he chooses. He'll say, I won't want my children to be in that environment, in that area. How is he going to go? They have to go to school. They have to walk through the streets. They can't even go to the corner cafe, whatever it may be. We are worried. So we have to worry about something more serious. And that is that when we are in the company of people, and we're not judging people. We're not saying, I don't sit to those people because they are bad. We don't sit in the company of people because when you sat there, the things they said, the thoughts that they had put forward was harmful for me. With a lot of respect, if you can't put it right, we need to withdraw. Because shaitan comes in so many different forms, my respected friends and brothers. And all this, if you are not careful about it, will catch up on the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala says, it's a bit late at that time, when a person is going to say, you know, they're going to, Allah says, يَعُدُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ. They're going to chew at their hands in distress, out of regret. They're going to bite away at their hands. يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي. They will say, only if I had taken اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا, I had chosen the path of the Rasul. يَا وَيْلَتَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. Alas, woe be to me. I should not have taken so-and-so as my friend. I should not have sat in the company of so-and-so or in such an environment where I was going to be affected. And we know how an environment affects. Today it's cold outside. When you go outside, we start freezing up. We go in a warm place, we start feeling warm. Any environment we go into, the reality of this world of cause and effect is going to affect us. So we need to at all times be alert with regard to this aspect of our life. And once a Sahaba came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he says, O Rasulullah, when is Qiyamah? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what did you prepare for it? So he says, I didn't prepare anything for it except this, that I love Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, a man will be with those whom he loves. Who do we love today? What friends do we love? What are our companionship? Who are we inclined towards? What actions are we inclined towards? And then we have remote friends today. Remote friends that people have never met them. But because of the way people have made names for themselves, you know, through celebrities or through sports star, whatever star it might be, people become so, you know, attached to them. They love them so much. They want to walk like them, talk like them, dress like them, keep their hairstyle. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Al-mar'u ma'aman ahabba. A person is finally going to be with those whom he loves. Now, who wants to stand up with some person that was leading his life in total sin, consuming alcohol, womanizing, and then he died in that state? He was taking drugs on the day of Qiyamah. Who wants to stand up with that person? So we need to be aware. We might admire a person for his skills, but do not become inclined towards him or his ways, because we find some people, they go to the stage of, you know, idolizing. It is so dangerous. It's just taken for granted. They have pictures of them, and they have all kinds of memorabilia regarding these people, and they just want to, you know, follow them and look like them and talk to them and do everything like them. We don't know how that person will finally pass away. We don't know how we are going to pass away. We can't pass that judgment. But on the face of things, if that man's action is against the orders and the commands of Allah, and if we have developed this inclination and this dying love for that person, the remote one, the one we have not even met, we should see when we were in school how people used to, you know, defend their soccer players, and they used to talk about him like they are defending some great saint or some great buzrug or somebody like that. That's how they used to talk about them. We never met the man. He used to be in another part of the world for that matter. That is love. So this person came to ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a man will be with whom he loves. So the Sahaba said, when we heard this hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we were so happy. We were so overjoyed. Why? Because we love Allah and we love his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also say we love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then our actions must be also like that other fellow we spoke about. His actions are in total emulation of that fellow, whoever he might be. Our actions, our love, our respect, our adulation must be everything that is linked to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq.